is the president. And that he got elected to a great extent, not in spite of this opinion, but because of it. I'm angry at how religion was used as a rationalization for slavery in this country. I'm angry that slave owners in the United States were taught that God intended them to own other human beings as property. And religious leaders cited the Bible to support this practice. I'm angry that slaves in the United States were taught that being owned as property by other human beings was God's will, and that it was their duty to God to submit to their masters. And again, this practice was supported with text from the Bible. You know, yes, there was religious opposition to slavery. There were certainly religious belief drove abolitionism, but religious belief was also a massive force in defending slavery. And I'm angry that there is, in fact, biblical doctrine supporting the practice of slavery. When people tried to defend slavery with text from the Bible, they weren't wrong. They were wrong about slavery, but they weren't wrong about what the Bible said. And I'm angry that people look at this history of slavery in the United States, and they look at the religious rationalizations that were given for it. And they still insist that religion and the Bible provide the moral foundation for American culture. You know, I'm angry that people can look at this holy book that firmly and clearly prohibits eating shellfish, wearing blended fabrics, planting two kinds of crops in the same field, and yet says not one word prohibiting the ownership of other human beings as property. That in fact says many positive things supporting the practice and telling people exactly how to go about doing it. That nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not own other human beings as property. It is an abomination. For f***'s sake, what are you thinking? Who does that? You know, we have one of the Ten Commandments is don't work on the Sabbath. Why wasn't one of the Ten Commandments don't own other human beings as property? Are you kidding? And people still look at this and still insist that this book is the primary source for morality of this country's society. I'm angry that in Jerusalem, because of pressure from ultra-Orthodox Jewish leaders, a major conference on gynecology refused to allow any women to speak. And this didn't happen in the 15th century. This didn't happen in the 19th century. This didn't even happen in the 20th century. This happened in 2012. I'm angry that in Islamic theocracies, women who have sex outside marriage, who date outside their religion, who disobey their male relatives, are executed. I'm angry that women who get raped can be and are executed for the crime of adultery. I'm angry that the ones who only get beaten and imprisoned are the ones who get off lucky. I'm angry that in the United States, the religious right collaborated, and I use that word very deliberately, the religious right collaborated with a greedy, bigoted, self-serving, power-hungry, dangerously incompetent, misogynistic, white supremacist fascist, and helped him get elected to the highest office of the country. And they did this because he promised to take away LGBT rights and make abortion illegal. And that was their priority. And I am furious that because of their religion, that was their priority. Their priority wasn't caring for the poor or tending the sick, like Christians so often say that's what their religion is really about. These people helped elect a president who holds the poor and sick in contempt, and who is going to do everything in his power to make poor and sick people's lives much worse than they already are. And the religious right collaborated with him because they cannot stand the thought of people deciding that our bodies belong to ourselves and not to God. I'm angry that at Pensacola Christian College in Florida, a student who was beaten and raped was expelled for being a fornicator. And her assailant graduated with honors and became a pastor. And I'm angry that this is not an isolated incident. Incidents of Christian colleges covering up sexual assault and expelling students who report their assaults have been reported left and right. I'm angry that the Bamiyan Buddha statues in Afghanistan, these magnificent monumental works of art over 1,500 years old, were dynamited by the Taliban because they were idols and they were believed to be an affront to God's law. I'm angry that after 9/11 happened, people of Middle Eastern descent were attacked and their businesses were vandalized because they were Muslims, or because people assumed they were Muslims, even if they weren't, and they blamed all Muslims for the attacks. I'm angry that Raif Badawi, a Saudi Arabian blogger, was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 1,000 lashes for the crime of apostasy and insulting Islam. I'm angry that he has already been in prison for over 3 years and has been lashed 50 times. I'm angry that people in Africa are being terrorized, tortured, and killed over accusations of witchcraft. This is not in the Middle Ages. This is not in the 1600s. This is today. People are being literally witch hunted. I'm angry. Actually, that does not begin to express it. I am enraged at priests who rape children and tell them that it's God's will. I am enraged at the Catholic Church that consciously, deliberately, repeatedly, as a matter of policy for years, has acted to protect priests who rape children, that they placed the church's reputation as a higher priority than children not being raped. And I'm enraged that the Catholic Church actually tried to argue in court when this started to come out. They actually tried to argue in court that protecting child raping priests from prosecution and moving them from diocese to diocese so that they could be hidden and rape kids in a whole new community again and again, they actually argued that that was a constitutionally protected form of free religious expression and that they should therefore be immune for prosecution for it. I'm angry about lying for the Lord. I'm angry that the Mormon Church officially, like really officially, not just like secretly, privately among other shelves, officially advocates a policy of deception, concealment, exaggeration, selective disclosure, censorship, and outright dishonesty about the history and tenets of their religion. This is a policy that is aimed both at the general public and at members of their own church. They do this, obviously, in order to protect their image. And I am angry that Mormons who have violated this policy and who've told the truth about the church's history and teachings, even when it was unflattering, have been excommunicated. I'm angry about Galileo. Still, I realize it happened in 1633. I'm still mad. I'm angry that when atheists put up billboards saying simply, "You can be good without God," people get outraged about how disrespectful we are. I'm angry that atheists get pegged as intolerant and confrontational and angry simply for existing and for being open about who we are. I'm angry that my friend Rebecca Hensler and other grieving atheists have been told by religious believers horrible things about their grief. I'm furious about that. You know, I'm furious that atheists are told that that at best your loved one is in heaven and therefore don't worry about it, and at worst that the death that they're grieving was their fault because they're atheists. I'm angry that I have to know more about their damn religion than they do. I have better things to do with my time than research what the New Testament really says about hell because some jackass said, "Oh, the New Testament doesn't say anything about hell."
Amen.
I'm angry that in public, taxpayer-paid high schools around the country, atheist students trying to organize clubs, which is something that they are legally allowed to do in public schools, routinely get stonewalled by school administrations. I'm angry that 40% of all homeless teenagers are gay, most of them kids who have been kicked out of their homes by their religious families. I'm angry about the Holocaust. I'm angry about Israel and Palestine. I'm angry about 9/11. And I'm angry that all of this just scratches the surface. I'm angry that I could spend all day listing the things about religion that make me angry. I could spend all week, all month, all year, and I would not be done. I literally wrote the book on atheist anger. I wrote this book called Why Are You Atheists So Angry? 99 Things That Piss Us. And I knew that when I finished writing it, that within a day of it going to press, I would think of something or hear about something that I should have included in the book. I knew that the day I told my publisher, yes, go ahead, within 5 minutes I would be going, oh, what about this thing I just read? I am angry about all of this and much more, and I think I'm right to be angry. I think any atheist who is angry about this is right to be angry. But is this anger useful? Does atheist anger about religion help or hurt our cause?
Or our blood pressure.
Well, that's a different matter, and that's a matter between you and your doctor. I will acknowledge that anger is a difficult tool in a social change movement. It can even be a dangerous one. Anger can make people act rashly. It can make it harder to think clearly. It can make people treat potential allies as enemies. In the worst case scenario, it can lead to violence. And contrary to popular opinion, research shows that expressing anger doesn't actually make people calmer and less angry. There's this mythology about venting, that if you express anger, you'll be less angry. That's not true. Actually, expressing anger makes us angrier. And sometimes that's useful, and sometimes that's dangerous. But I don't actually want to be cavalier about anger. I do think it's a difficult tool, and it is one we need to be careful with. That being said, yes, I think anger in a social change movement is not only valid, but valuable and necessary. Why? Because anger is always necessary. Anger has driven every major social change movement in this country, and probably every major social change movement in the world. Certainly everyone that I am aware of, the labor movement, the civil rights movement, Black Lives Matter, the feminist movement, LGBT rights movement, the environmental movement, all of them have had as a major driving force a tremendous amount of anger. Anger over injustice, over mistreatment and brutality, anger over helplessness. We need to be very clear about this. Anger is not violence. Anger is not bigotry. Anger is not hatred. Violence and bigotry and hatred are not okay. I do not support them in any way, but that is not what anger is. And if anybody is coming at you, if you're being angry and saying, why are you so hateful? Why are you so bigoted? Anger is not those things. Anger is an emotion indicating displeasure and antagonism with a state of affairs. Or to put it more succinctly, anger is how we know that things are not okay. Anger is how we know that there is unfairness and injustice in the world, that people are being hurt who don't need to be. Anger is how we know this, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. And anger is what motivates us to do something about it. So when people tell atheists not to be so angry, they are telling us to disempower ourselves. They are telling us to lay down one of the single most powerful tools that we have at our disposal. They're telling us to be polite and diplomatic, when history very clearly shows that polite diplomacy, and that polite diplomacy is important, and I do not undervalue it, but it is much more powerful when it's coupled with passionate anger. And in a battle between David and Goliath, they're telling David to put down his slingshot. And I don't know, gnaw Goliath on the ankles or something, kick him in the shins. That is not such an effective method of social change. It is much more effective to use the power that you have at your hand, in your disposal. And in fact, when believers tell atheists not to be so angry or not to be so vocal about our anger, it is very hard to avoid the conclusion that this disempowerment is exactly the point. The atheist movement is doing pretty well, especially for a movement that really only became seriously mobilized and seriously visible in about the last decade. We have made astonishing strides in visibility in a very short time. You know, we went from being on pretty much nobody's radar to being a major topic of conversation in the public conversation and in private conversations all over the world. Many of our books have been bestsellers. Polls showing approval and acceptance of us are going up. They still suck, but they're going up. Very importantly, there are now atheist communities, as far as I can tell, in every major city in this country, and in a whole lot of smaller cities and towns as well. And also, very importantly, rates of religious non-belief are going up at a substantial rate, all over the United States and all over the world. And this trend is especially true among young people, which is arguably the most important demographic for a social change movement. Clearly, we are doing something right. We're doing a lot of things wrong, but we're also doing something right. And our anger, among many other factors, has been extremely effective. It's been effective at drawing attention to our movement, and it's been effective at motivating people to get involved in it. And clearly, this has a lot of people really freaked out. Whenever believers give advice to atheists on how to run our movement, you know how, like, I don't know if you ever get this. Like, you talk to believers about atheism and they just sort of start giving you lots of well-meaning advice about how we should run our movement. And it's really hard to avoid noticing that that advice is almost always in the direction of telling us to tone it down, to be less confrontational, to be less visible. I have almost never seen a believer advise the atheist movement to speak up more loudly, to be more passionate, to get in people's faces more about stuff that that they don't want to think about, to not be afraid of offending people if we know we're right. I have received a huge amount of advice from believers on how atheists should run our movement, and it is almost always in the direction of suggesting that we shut up. Maybe I'm being cynical. I don't think that's a coincidence. And when you look at the history of social change movements, you see that this is not a coincidence. You see the same pattern again and again. It's been true of the women's movement, the labor movement, the civil rights movement, and the current black rights movement, the queer movement. As soon as a movement starts to get some real traction, as soon as it starts to be effective, opponents start fear-mongering about how angry they are, how, oh my gosh, those angry black people, those angry women, those angry queers, they're going to turn into an uncontrolled raging mob and tear up your city. Or they start concern trolling about how anger just alienates people and we need to be sweet and diplomatic, you know. They start giving us all this well-meaning advice that really disempowers us. I do not think it's a coincidence that we are being advised to lay down our anger, one of the most powerful tools for social change, right at the moment when we are beginning to get some real power. By the way, I hope atheists remember this when we're responding to the anger of other marginalized groups, when we're responding to women's anger, to queer anger, to black anger. I cannot tell you how many atheists have told me they love my anger, they love my passionate, eloquent, uncompromising atheist anger expressed in my talks and my books and my blog. And then these same people turn around to tell black people, brown people, women, poor people, disabled people, mentally ill people, gay and lesbian and bisexual and trans people that they should calm down, that they're blowing things out of proportion, that they're driving people away, that anger is bad for them and bad for their cause. I really hope I don't have to explain how wildly hypocritical that is. Unfortunately, experience over the last several years has taught me that I have to explain. That is wildly hypocritical. Please, let's not do that. So, back onto the topic of our own anger, I want to point out something really important about atheist anger, about this litany of rage, the litany of rage that so many other atheists share. Most of our anger is not about atheists. It's not about atheists being harmed. Some of it is, and that's valid. There's real bigotry and discrimination against atheists. It's legit to be angry about that. But when you look at the things that make so many atheists angry about religion, you quickly realize that most of it is not about harm being done to atheists. Most of it is about harm being done to believers. It is anger on other people's behalf. Atheists aren't angry because we're selfish or whiny or don't have joy or meaning in our lives. We're angry because we have compassion. We're angry because we have a sense of justice. We're angry because we see terrible harm being done to people and our hearts go out to them and we desperately want it to stop. Atheists are not angry because there's something wrong with us. Atheists are angry because there's something right with us. So our anger is appropriate, it's powerful, it's compassionate, and it's motivating us to change the world. But this leads me to my final question of the day, a question about anger that I think is hugely important. What do we do with it? If you are good and mad about religion and the harm that's done in its name, and boy, I sure hope you are, because if you're not, I'm not doing my job. What can you do about it? How can atheists channel our entirely legitimate anger about religion, its privilege, into a positive force for social change? How can we channel this anger and turn it into a force for good? There are lots of avenues for atheist activism. There's communities to connect with, organizations to join and financially support, charities to fundraise for, online forums to participate in, t-shirts to wear, bumper stickers to put on your car, sound bites to share on Facebook and Twitter, conversations to have with our families and our friends and strangers at the airport. Pick one. I would be happy for you to do any of this. Pick the forms of activism that resonate with you. Pick the ones that you find inspiring. Pick the activism that you're good at, the activism that you have time and resources for. Pick the activism that you are going to stick with for years because you love doing it. And if you're angry about religion and what you want to do is put up billboards saying religion is a myth, or you want to help file lawsuits that undercut religious privilege, or you want to picket the Mormon church, or you want to get into arguments about religion on Facebook, you should do that. And if you're angry about religion, and what you want to do about it is to put up billboards saying that atheists are good people, or give women rides to abortion clinics when they don't have access, help organize fun events at your local atheist community, work to make organized atheism more inclusive and more welcoming to a wider variety of people, or simply to come out as atheist to your friends and family, you should do that too. We need all of that, and all of it helps dismantle religion. Speaking out passionately against religion and its evils helps dismantle it. Persuading people that religion is mistaken helps dismantle it, obviously. Fighting against the unfair privileged status that religion enjoys in our society and our legal system helps dismantle it. And making atheism more visible and projecting a positive public image of atheism and creating fun, supportive atheist communities, these also help dismantle religion. They refuse the social consent that religion relies on to perpetuate itself. They let people know that atheism is an option, and not just an option, but a valid and satisfying option with joy and meaning. And they give people a safe place to land when they do leave religion. So, if you're angry about religion, what should you do? Within the boundaries of reason and ethics, you should do whatever floats your boat. Organize a same-sex kiss-in at your local homophobic church. I'm so sorry I missed that. Organize a canned food drive for your local food bank. Organize an atheist outing to a karaoke bar. Write a letter to the editor speaking out against religious bigotry in immigration laws. Show up at protests against religious bigotry in immigration laws. Show up to your local atheist meetup group. Come up with activities for your local atheist meetup group and help make them happen. Wear an atheist t-shirt to the airport. Promote atheist voices online using social media, especially atheist voices that tend to not get promoted very much. Participate in other social change movements and advocate for atheists when you're there. Go to a school board meeting and insist that evolution be taught in science class. Call your state and federal representatives and insist that reproductive rights be fully supported and funded. Run for office. Please, please run for office. I will suck at it, so I'm not going to do it, but I beseech people who even have a shred of interest in running for office, for local office especially. That's how the Tea Party got a foothold, and we need more of us to do it. If that doesn't float your boat, host an atheist movie night in your living room. Donate money to atheist organizations or other organizations supporting atheist and humanist values. Get your local atheist community to do clinic defense at abortion clinics, to volunteer at soup kitchens, to fundraise for the homeless shelter for LGBTQ youth, to march in a Black Lives Matter march. Tell someone you know that you're an atheist. And I'm going to say that one again. Tell someone you know that you're an atheist. Coming out of the closet is the single most powerful political act we can take. If we can take it safely, let's take it and come out as much as we possibly can. There are jobs for everyone. There's plenty of work to be done. And I know that there are atheists who think that none of this stuff has anything to do with atheism. That it's mission drift, that atheism only means lack of belief in any gods. But conclusions don't exist in a vacuum. Conclusions have implications. Sometimes those implications are profound. And that includes the conclusion that gods don't exist. You know, when we accept that there are no gods and no afterlife, we have to accept that meaning and morality, community and consolation, justice and joy, are things that we create for ourselves and for each other. It's only going to happen in this life, and it's only going to happen if we do it. If we want to change the world, if we want to make the world a little less likely to raise our blood pressure, a little less likely to make us angry, we have to pitch in. We have to do what we care about and what we're good at. That has always been true, and it is true now in these terrible times more than ever. If you are angry about religion and you're wondering what to do about it, I am happy with just about anything you might do, as long as you do something. Thank you. So we have time for a couple questions, right? Thank you.
Okay, we have time for a couple questions.
Hi, yeah, that was great. So this might be like a semantics thing,
okay.
But like I don't want to be an angry person, you
okay.
know? Like there's a lot of bad things in the world and I don't want anger to like consume my life.
Okay.
And I guess like you've used a lot of strong language, and is there an implication that if I'm not angry that I'm consenting to all these bad things that are happening? Like I certainly feel activated and wanting to change things,
sure.
But I just feel like anger is just such a strong feeling. I'd rather say that I want to be happy or okay. something like that. But do you get what I'm saying?
Sure. I do yeah. get what you're saying. And what I would say is we can be angry without being consumed by anger. We can have anger be one part of our complicated human emotional landscape. And the degree to which you prioritize that, the degree to which you publicly project it, that's very personal. You know, some of us are very strongly motivated by anger. Some of us, it's part of what's driving the engine. Some of us are very visibly angry. For some of us, the public face we want to project is more, you know, more calm. I do think to some extent that if you're not angry at even a little bit about any of this, you're not paying attention. But you get to decide how much you want to be driven by that, and how much you want to have it be part of your personality and your public face. Another question?
So first, a quick comment. The most effective recent angry movement has to be considered the Tea Party. I mean, you can say it's bigotry or whatever, but they certainly use their anger effectively. That's just a comment. The second thing is, one of the first things you said was, I believe you said, I cherish the freedom of religion.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. So I'll respond to both of those. When I said that anger is dangerous, I meant it. And what you said about the Tea Party is true. The Tea Party is very much driven by anger, and their anger is hugely misdirected. It's not evidence-based, and that's, I think, that if we're going to be driven by anger, we have to be rooted in reality. You know, the Tea Party is angry about things that aren't happening and aren't going to happen, and they're angry because their non-existent God is being, they think, angered. So we need to make sure, if we're being driven by anger, that we're also willing to have reality checks. And yeah, I absolutely believe in the freedom of religion. I mean, obviously with some limitations, I don't think people should be able to commit human sacrifices or whatever. But I don't want, I want a country, I want a world where people get to believe, you know, there's no thought crimes, where people get to think what they think. And as long as they're not doing harm to other people, they get to practice what they practice. You know, I certainly think that there can be some limits on that, and not just human sacrifice. I don't, for instance, think that the right to freedom of religion means you don't get to vaccinate your kids, or you don't get to take your kids to the doctor. I don't think it means that you don't have to serve LGBT people in your businesses like you would serve anybody else. You know, our values conflict. Values always conflict. But yeah, it's, you know, and if only for selfish reasons, if we don't have freedom of religion, then I don't have the freedom to be an atheist. You know, if we don't have freedom of religion, then what we have is state-defined religion, as most humans had for centuries, or we have state-sponsored atheism, as we had in, for instance, the Soviet Union, and that didn't turn out so well. One of the things that happened with state-sponsored atheism in the Soviet Union was that religion was driven underground, and that's bad for a lot of reasons. So yeah, I do support freedom of religion within the broad limits. Rebecca has her hand up, so I don't want to. And I realize you and I can talk anytime, but Rebecca always has very good questions, so I just want to hear them.
Well, first of all, I actually think the most recent effective movement that's driven by anger is clearly Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
And that brings up a sort of interesting question, which is that anger can be a very challenging emotion when you're involved in coalition building, of course. And I think, if not all, most of the people in this room have, you know, an intersectional set of politics. We all have multiple identities. I am an atheist, but I am also queer and many other things, female. And we've certainly seen in this movement the ability to work together in coalition. Anger has its impact on that, and so I was curious if you'd like to comment on that.
Sure. It's a very large question, and we're running low on time, but I'll try to answer it. Anger doesn't just affect how we talk to other people, it affects how we talk to each other. And that can also be for good or bad. You know, it can be, you know, I have certainly seen, you know, I think some of what Rebecca's talking about is that the push to make organized atheism more intersectional, more welcoming to a wider variety of people, more inclusive, more supportive of women, more supportive of Black people, brown people, more supportive of disabled people, mentally ill people, and so on. A lot of that has been driven by anger. by anger at the hypocrisy of people, you know, Richard freaking Dawkins saying identity politics are evil when he's making it his living off of the identity of being an atheist. So yeah, I think that a lot of us were very angry when we started to speak up for more inclusion, more intersectionality, and kept getting shot down, and kept getting shot down in some very ugly, ugly, ugly ways. And yes, I think that to a great extent, our anger about how other atheists were treating us has been very effective. Because I think, for one thing, we would have been ignored. And for another thing, anger, it's fuel. You know, if I'm not, I don't know if anybody else has it, if there's injustice and harm, if I'm not feeling angry, I'm feeling defeated. I'm feeling just crushed. I certainly had that after the last election. You know, and I actually remember after the last election going, am I going to be able to find my anger again? Because I just feel so hopeless. And then some guy was being an asshole in a bar, and I started screaming at him. I was like, oh, there it is. So anger draws attention, and it also can be fuel to people who are feeling powerless. That being said, I do think that there are times when anger is, again, it's a dangerous tool, and it's fire, and fire is hard to control. And there are times when the way we talk to each other is not always super helpful. The way that we criticize each other, this is a big complicated issue and I can't really get into it. I'm actually writing this whole piece in my head about it, about where's the line between appropriate anger and abuse? Yeah. Where's the line between criticizing somebody who's being abusive and just tone trolling and trying to shut people up who are being too angry? I don't know how to draw those lines yet. So that is an issue. And so the one thing I would say is that I think we need to be very careful when we're on a more privileged end of a spectrum. You know, like for instance, I'm white, I'm more or less able-bodied, I'm comfortably middle class, so those are some privileged ends of the spectrum. I'm queer, I'm a woman, I have mental illness, I'm an atheist, so those are some marginalized ends of the spectrum. And I think that when we need to be very careful, when we're concerned about other people's anger, and calling it infighting or divisive or whatever, we need to be very careful when it's more privileged people talking to people who are more marginalized. And that doesn't mean we should never, ever do it, but I think we need to be really much more careful about that. So that seems like a good place to end. Thank you.